Lord, we worship you and glorify you. We thank you that there is a table set. And it is available 24/7. We thank you that it's there. We praise you, Father. We thank you, one for another, for the body of Christ. Lord, I pray that more than anything else in 2018, that you'll help me to go into you and to also give my life for the brethren. In Jesus' name, we bless you. We bless you. This is a good place to be. And it's simple. It's with friends. And you guys can continue to just play for a minute if you want. Hallelujah. Glory. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to have communion in just a few moments. And we're not going to be here long tonight. This is a watch night service abbreviated, I guess. Hallelujah. There's, as I said this morning, there's really nothing. It's cool if you want to. We did it for years to stay up to midnight. And I get to kiss my wife at the stroke of midnight. But I can do that at home. That's, and Homer, her best friend, is back. He's doing whatever. Hallelujah. Praise God. But it's just good to be with you. Whoever's venturing to watch us tonight, in just a little bit, we're going to have communion. So I would invite you to, while I'm talking and while you can still hear my voice on the TV, go get some elements to serve yourself. Doesn't have to be grape juice. It can be whatever that you can find. If you can find something in the fridge, go and get that ready. Just a little bit. You don't have to have a big swig. Just enough to represent the elements. Hallelujah. So we're going to receive that in just a little bit. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for your peace. Thank you for your life. There's going to be a million people, plus maybe, standing in Times Square tonight at 0 degrees. Not me. I've been there. I've been to Times Square a few times. I did not lose anything there. I mean, it was kind of neat the first time I looked at it and awed and gawked. But you know what? And most of that million will not even remember tonight. They will be inebriated. What does that mean, Daddy? Drunk. But praise God for the Holy Ghost. I have people that I'm going to believe, people of kin that are, let's just say it this way, about as close to being kin as you can have, that have a lot of money, that are in another state. They'll be partying tonight, and they've got a lot of money to do it with, but you know what? They're very miserable. They don't know Jesus, and they're very miserable. I'm glad I'm here. Hallelujah. I had a man that's worth, I do not believe it's an exaggeration, tens of millions of dollars, hug me a year or two ago with tears in his eyes, and I'll tell you in essence what he said. I wish I had the peace. I wish I had the peace that you have. Money does not give you peace. Life in Christ. Hey, I've got the best. I've got Jesus. I've got good friends. You are my friends. I'm in love with my wife. Tomorrow I won't be sailing on my yacht. I'll probably fix Homer a hamburger and watch a football game or something. But that's the best that life has, is of us as friends. And just loving each other and loving God. Hallelujah. Let's get ready for communion. Thanks, guys. And I just want to read some scripture. We won't be long. I'm going to read out of John, the 13th chapter. Leave it to John to include something that none of the rest of the apostles included. And that was part of the Last Supper that exemplifies the love of God. And John, of course, with the love that he walked in, it was just something the Holy Spirit had placed on his heart. None of the other Gospels include this portion of the Last Supper, but if you want to read it with me, or if you're out there listening, it's in John chapter 13. And I'm just going to read. I'm going to read from here, and then I'm going to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and then we're going to receive communion together. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, and that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things unto his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he rises from supper, laid aside the garments, and took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with a towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? And Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. And Jesus saith unto him, He that is washed needeth not save, that means to except, to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who would betray him, therefore he said, You're not all clean. So after that he had washed their feet, and had taken his garments, and was set down again, he said unto them, Know ye what I have done? Ye call me Master and Lord, and you say, Well, for so I am. If I then, your Master, Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that you should do as I have done unto you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither is he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. I speak not of you all. I know whom I have chosen, but that the scriptures might be fulfilled. He that eateth bread with me has lifted up his heel against me. Now I tell you, before it comes, that when it has come to pass, you may believe that I am he. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send receiveth me. And he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. The foot washing was a part of the first communion, and John includes that. And we're not going to teach on all that tonight. We've taught on it before. But Jesus does this, and, you know, we've never corporately had a foot washing, and I don't know that we ever will. One thing that we see here is that Jesus said, I'm doing this as an example to you. The example that they knew, which is very foreign to us, it's like it doesn't even make sense, is that, like I said this morning when I was making a point about getting ourselves in physical condition, there was zero obesity in biblical days because they walked everywhere, or if they could afford it, rode a horse. There was no refined sugar, and there was no McDonald's, and there was nothing of that sort. But they walked, and of course, you understand, all they had was open-ended shoes, sandals, and they would become very dusty. If you were a person of means and you did have servants or slaves in the house, when you received your guest, the first place at the foyer or when you walk in the door, they would attend unto you. You would take your shoes off and you would sit down or stand there as they washed your feet. Because that was the only thing really that was soiled. And it would be soiled because you would be walking. That's the only way that you got there. But the example was, is that the servant washed the feet of the guest or the person that was higher than them. And Jesus got underneath the disciples, and not only to the 11 faithful, but Judas was there as well. And the example that works with communion, see, even if a church, and there are churches that still do that, and I don't, you know, if that's their, if they want to do that, that's fine. But it's more of an example. And the example is, if Jesus said, if I'm your Lord and I've done this, love each other like this. Serve each other like this. Love each other with the fullness of giving your life and being servants one to another. Most churches that would do this, and this is not a slam on them in no way, but even if they follow this verbatim, even more than an example, most people don't qualify to wash another person's feet, because you have to be free from offense and grudges to truly be able to wash another person's feet. You have to be free. You can't hold anything against anybody. To be the servant has to be free to be able to share that example. And there's big word, hitherto for, up to this point, the church has not been free enough from offenses, grudges, old standing things. But we're on a path. Hallelujah. And I'm talking about the church at large, and if it applies to us, it applies to us. But that's just another living example. Praise the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, I'll read out of there. And Paul had received by revelation this Last Supper. In verse 23, he says this, "For I have received of the Lord," because Paul wasn't there. He wasn't there at that time. I don't know that he ever saw Jesus. We don't know. "For I have in the flesh, for I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do you in remembrance of me." So when we take the bread and we eat it, we're supposed to do it in remembrance of him. Well, what are we remembering? That his body was broken. Okay? Hallelujah. And we go back to Old Testament, Isaiah 52. His vigil form was marred more than any. I mean, the man, and I speak respectfully saying the man because he's my Lord, but the man was beaten unmercifully. He was beaten like no dog has ever been beat. He was, and if we can allow the Holy Spirit to exemplify and put that image in front of us in our spirits, far more than just even our minds, and say that cost is my freedom, and I stand on that and I receive that in its interpretation translates over to Romans 8:2, that the law of the Spirit of life, we have the law of the Spirit of life inside of us, and against all sickness, hallelujah. We got somebody, Frankie, stand up, okay? He's fighting sickness tonight. In fact, come over here and stand. You stretch your faith, if you would, please. I'm going to lay hands on you. And not only do you have the law of the Spirit of life in you, but I have, like everybody else that's born again in here tonight, have the power in my hands. Now I curse sickness in your body in the name of Jesus. And I command it to go out of your body this hour, now, as I release the power of God through my hands and say, Lord, in Jesus' name, this man is healed. I declare him healed. Fever, go. Sickness, go. In Jesus' name. Virus, leave his body now, in Jesus' name. Amen. And everyone else that's here tonight that's fighting sickness, or anyone else out there that's fighting sickness, I speak and I put my faith with yours as you stand now. Sickness, go in the name of Jesus. Whatever virus is in your body, whatever you're fighting, go now in Jesus' name. I release that power. Fever, go. Sickness, go. Cold, go. Congestion, all these things, whatever it is, in Jesus' name, life. The word says here that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, Paul said, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it. And he said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner, also he took the cup. And when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Well, that blood, if we trace the blood at each station of the cross, the blood first began in perspiration in the garden. Great sweat, great drops of blood, Luke records. And then it goes into Pilate's courtyard. He's slapped. He's beaten. They pluck out his beard. He's crown of thorns. That causes blood. The blood's not the final end of blood. The greatest quantity of blood was shed on the cross when they pierced him. But that blood had a progression throughout his crucifixion, that whole thing. And so we're to remember that this blood is the blood of the New Testament in Christ. There's no more. He's the last lamb. He's the last lamb. I've been born again. I've been cleansed. And that blood still is available for me. I don't get born again every time I fail. But that blood is available for me on the mercy seat, 1 John 1:9, that in a moment's time. And I just pray that all Christians everywhere, that you guys are more accustomed to it, but I pray all Christians everywhere learn in the days ahead, we want to start a revival against the deception out there. The deception is you can live like you want and God's okay with that. The truth is you can't live like you want, but when you do fail, go immediately to the blood. This generation has not been taught repent. Repent 10 times a day or 20 times a day if you need to, but go back to the blood. That blood not only purchased you, a one-time purchase, but it also cleanses you every time you fail. Hallelujah. Every time you fail where you're, I was telling some guys tonight and we were laughing. It was kind of comical about something that, you know, I had to say, Lord, forgive me. But I'm telling you, at that moment of time, wherever your conscience is pricked at, wherever your conscience says, oops, a little too much of flesh, when you say, forgive me, that blood just washes it all away. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? Hallelujah. As often as you drink it in remembrance of me, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. Now, I can only advertise this, and most of you that are listening are already accustomed to Gary Carpenter and have listened to some stuff that I have taught and a lot of stuff that I've taught using some of his material, because Gary went through this real extensively this year. It was really top shelf stuff. But we're not going to teach that in this 5-minute segment, but the understanding here is that the word is not that we drink or eat unworthy. That puts the onus on our failures, but unworthily is a process of thought, not understanding what you're doing. In other words, you're not holding the value of the moment. You're not holding the value of the elements. You're not saying, my goodness. See, the onus or the weight is not on your failures here. It's on whether or not you can focus on His blood, His body, and everything that made you who you are and keeps you who you are and heals you. But let a man examine himself, so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. In other words, we're not taking into effect what we're often doing, how important it really is. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. And I like that. I like being able to judge me. Okay, let it come to me first. Okay, give me the first opportunity. But when we are judged, we're chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. So if we do judge ourselves in the process of judgment, then what that really is he says that if we go into that process, then that's chastening. And that's the word child training. I welcome the Holy Spirit to chasten me, because it may feel a little bit owie for the moment, but when it's done and you say, okay, I'm sorry, forgive me, help me to change, it just feels so good. Those chastenings feel good. And he says this, if that happens, we are chastened of the Lord, we should not be condemned with the world. The world's already condemned. The world's already condemned. If we don't chasten ourselves and don't allow Him to chasten, then we slip into where the world's at. And the world's dying of sickness and disease and cancer. And of course Christians have. Of course, that's not an argument. But we're not supposed to. We're not supposed to. There should be a real defining line between us, and as the days go on and we get back to the fullness of the kingdom of God, there will be that defining line. And so the world is under a curse. We've been freed from the curse. The world does die of sickness. We're not supposed to die of sickness. And so there's supposed to be a difference between us. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that when you come together, you come not together unto condemnation, and the rest I'll set in order when I come. And that just simply means this is a simple example. In other words, don't intermingle the communion with a supper. That's just simply what it means. We had fellowship. Those of you that are watching, we turned the camera on 20 minutes ago or what, 30 minutes ago. And if you are watching, you're fellowshipping in this communion. He basically is saying, don't intermingle the festivity with the communion, because it needs to be something so separate that you differentiate it in your mind. In other words, you shouldn't be slugging down a Coke Zero, eating a cheeseburger, and saying, okay, you know, pass the potato chips. Oh, and at the same time, we're having communion. That's just what this chapter is saying. That's the end of this chapter. Differentiate. In fact, he said earlier, eat at home. Now, it's okay for us to have a fellowship and afterwards have a communion, because we're shutting one door. The canteen's shut up. Now we're having communion. And for me, some of you have seen me do this, and I'll whisper to Candy, and some people say, well, it doesn't really matter. And I know it doesn't, but and I have a hard time, especially because I got little ones, grandkids. I don't want them running up and grabbing the bread afterwards, because I want them. See, this is not literally, because some religions believe that when you drink it actually becomes His blood. It doesn't. It's still juice. It doesn't become blood. This does not become his body. Jesus don't even have that body no more. That body doesn't even exist. That body is glorified now. This is all Jesus said, my body is bread and my blood is drink indeed. Because he was, even after he said, you must drink my blood and eat my flesh, a lot of them said, we can't follow you anymore. You're weird. You're a cannibal. You know, you want us to cannibalize. And he says, does this offend you? Well, he went on to say, look, what I'm saying, he tried to help out their minds. What I'm saying, my body is bread and my blood is drink. Okay, so don't get weird. But even with the kids, I'll tell Candy, don't let them grab that. Because they need to learn, and we all need to learn, that in our hearts, this is sacred. It's being separated. Amen. Hallelujah. So let's all stand together. Amen. So Marty, if you could come. And I don't know. Well, you're working that. I don't know if you can or not. So hallelujah. And praise the Lord. So Otto, you want to come help Marty out here? You guys, can you play a little bit of something? That's great. And if you're at home, go get something. In the next 5 minutes, we'll have communion. And everybody, please, come receive bread and drink. And then you can go back to your seat. We'll all drink together at the same time and eat together, okay? So hallelujah. Please, thank you. Bless you, everyone. Hallelujah. Father, we worship you. Hallelujah. Is this mic on? Okay. Renee, will you take this mic back to Homer? I want him to pray before we receive. We're going to receive the bread together in just a moment. And again, I'll read this bread verse. He said this, and when he had given thanks, Paul said, he brake it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do ye in remembrance of me. So in just a moment, we're going to receive the bread. I'm going to ask Homer to, hey guys, how's it going? Would you like to receive communion with us? Okay, we've got time. Why don't you come up here and serve yourself? Anybody that wants to be a part of this, we'd love for you to. It's good to see our part of our family. Amen. They moved away, but they didn't move away from us. Amen. So they're back visiting tonight. Hallelujah. We're glad to have you guys. I'm going to let Homer just pray as he will, but if there's anything that's in my heart is that we come together in unity this year like never before. Not in a mandated, but just in a Holy Ghost. So hallelujah. Homer, please do a service. Hallelujah.
Lord, we thank you so much. I believe I can truly say with all my heart, there's no place in the world I'd rather be right now.
Yes.
Than in your house.
Yes.
I think I can truly say that, Lord.
Hallelujah.
There's no place I'd rather be.
Thank you, Jesus.
Than hearing your word.
Yes, Lord.
With the beloved.
Thank you, Jesus.
Father, we thank you so much.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
For what's coming.
Yes.
I heard my pastor say earlier in the words just resonated in me when he said that I would lay down my life for the brethren.
Worship you, Jesus.
I think that's our heart's desire, Father.
Thank you,
it's our heart's desire.
Yes.
And if it isn't our desire, Lord, that it would be our desire.
Yes.
To lay down our lives for each other.
Yes, Lord.
We thank you, Father, as we're gathered here tonight with the beloved. We thank you so much, Father, for your blood, for your body that was broken just because you loved us.
Yes, Jesus.
No other reason, Lord. You did it just yes. because you loved us.
Yes, Lord.
Obeying the perfect will of the Father.
Yes, Jesus.
From heaven.
Yes, Lord.
Again, I tell you, thank you, Father.
Yes, Father.
The Holy Ghost, that you would guide us.
Thank you.
That we would see ourselves. That we would see the areas in our life where we struggle. Areas in our lives that we do not want to let go, Father, that somehow you would chasten us, Father. Chastise us, Father.
Yes, Lord.
With your word and with your conviction that you would lay many stripes on us, Father. To press into you.
Yes.
To want to press in even more, Father. Counting everything but dung, Lord, that we yes. may know you, find you,
yes.
and lay down our lives for the brethren.
Yes, Lord.
I thank you so much, Father, in Jesus' name. In
Jesus' name.
Amen.
Let's take the bread together, the broken body of Christ. Thank you, Father. After the same manner, also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Hallelujah. Carl, would you like to receive with us? We don't leave nobody out. We've got time. We've got someone else. You guys come on and serve yourself. We'll wait for just a moment because we're not in a hurry. If you guys would like to receive the bread already, we've just received that, the broken body. We're at that point. We're about to receive the cup. And again, after the same manner, he also took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." That prayer that was just anointedly prayed covers this as well. So, Father, we receive this, your broken body and your blood, together as one body in Jesus' name. Let's receive it together, can we? His blood. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, let sickness, we thank you that it's already been done. I don't have to petition you. Sickness and disease, go out of our midst in this year like we've never seen before. A righteous prosperity, not of the greed of man, but of the righteousness of God, supplying that which he will use as a fortification for the revival. Father, I pray that you'll wake up men's hearts around this world, across this nation. I pray that you'll wake them up to righteousness. I pray that you'll wake them up to the call of God for giving. Lord, that which has been over the hearts. Father, wake up men. Wake up women. Lord, let true elders come forth in this hour, not by name, but by character and by their walk of God. Lord, we thank you for the hour that we live in. And as my friend and associate said, Lord, there's no other place that I would rather be I thank you, Father. I thank you with all my heart. There's no other place. I give you all the praise. I bless the brethren now. I thank you for 2018. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, as I said, this was going to be a shorter service. If you want to see the ball drop, you'll not see it here. Hallelujah. If I had one, I'd drop it for you, and you could feel real good about it. Hey, I've been to Times Square a few times. You're not missing anything. All right, you're not missing anything. It's great. Hallelujah. So, well, let's all stand together and give somebody a great big hug. Those of you that came in a little bit late, there might be still some stuff back there. There's some stuff back there you can help. You can take it with you or serve yourself. But give each other a great big hug. I'll see you Wednesday night. There will be service Wednesday night. Blessings to all of you. Amen.